Tonight, let me invite you over to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20. The book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian,'" notice, "'in not receiving at his hands that which he brought, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love toward us. Lord, we ask that you would bless your word as you've promised. And again, Lord, being reminded that you said that where two or three are gathered there in your name, you are in the very midst. And so we thank you for your presence this evening. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be led into your truths by your Spirit, and that you would be glorified and our lives empowered by your grace to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is "As the Lord Liveth." That's an important statement, but unfortunately tonight, as we consider our text, it's not in the proper context. This is a servant of Elisha, the man of God, and we saw this morning how Naaman was a leper and all that he went through, and how God displayed his grace in his life and his mercy and patience. Wouldn't you say? I mean, Naaman was fit to be tied because God gave him some specific directions, and finally came to the place to where he said, "You know what? Why not? Let me go ahead and just obey the Lord and dip in the Jordan seven times, be obedient to him, and God's promise to bless." And you know what? God blessed, didn't he? And not only did he bless him physically, but then he also blessed him in his heart to know some things that he did not know before about the God of Israel, the one and only true God that created everything. And not only that, but then gave us his mercy and his grace. Now we come to this place where Naaman, he was so thankful that he wanted to give Elisha something. He had brought many things with him, and if you remember, the Syrian king gave him many things, and Elisha didn't want any of that. And I am convinced it's because when God gives us something, there's no expense and there's no cost. Even though we are thankful and we have the right heart and the right gratitude, God says, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to my blessing, I'm the one that's the giver of all good things, and there are no strings attached. And so we thank the Lord for that. But now here's this servant of Elisha named Gehazi, and now he sees things differently, doesn't he? As he considers this Syrian, when you stop and think about that, I don't know that he didn't like him, but he didn't look at him as he looked at himself. So a lot of times he's an outsider. You know, he's of the Syrian camp, and we're of the Israelite camp. And God says the beautiful thing is that when God saves us, he brings us all together into one family, because he loves every human being, does he not? And by the way, he doesn't see us as human beings. He sees us as souls. Isn't that important? And he is concerned about our souls. And so let's pick up here with Gehazi. And we want to look at a couple of things tonight. And basically, the idea here is there are two paths that we can choose to walk in, or two camps of wisdom. We can lean to our own understanding, or we can look to what God has said. And those two ways lead us in two completely different directions. If we lean to our own understanding, we will never pick up the things of God, because we become wise in our own eyes, and God really wants us to walk humbly before him, because that keeps us in a teachable spirit. And Gehazi, I believe he was a believer in the Lord, but he lost his way and ended up going in the wrong direction. And I think it's a warning and a reminder to you and I tonight to realize that there are two paths, our way and God's way, but there's also two spirits. There's the spirit of man, and then there's God's spirit. Now, I've mentioned this in the past, the spirit of man, you and I can read the spirit of man. And what does that mean? Well, you can tell when somebody's happy, can you not? You can tell when somebody is sad. You can tell a lot of different emotions, and that's reading the spirit of man. But let me ask you a question. Can you read the spirit of God? Not without him. we'll never do it. So there are two paths that we can go on, and those really entail the two spirits, the spirit of the humankind and the spirit, the Holy Spirit that belongs to the Lord, and they will both guide us in two different directions. So let's look at two different directions tonight as we consider Gehazi. We see this area of carnality. He was using, when I say carnality, we're looking at human reasoning, and human reasoning can cause us to do the wrong thing. And to justify it, the Bible says every man in the book of Judges did that which was right in his own eyes, and they were going away from the Lord. They didn't think they were doing the wrong thing. You can look at an individual who's gone corrupt, and somehow in their mind, how do they sleep at night? Somehow in their minds, they have justified their corruption. They have to. In order to lay their heads down at night, they have to justify what they have done. We think of what happened in World War II, the Holocaust, and we think, what an atrocity that took place there. But wait a minute. You know that Stalin, I think, was worse than Hitler was. And he killed more of his own people, I think, than Hitler ever thought about doing. But he did that which was right in his own eyes and came to the wrong conclusion. Now that's an extreme, but sometimes we don't even realize how subtle these changes take place and can take place in our lives. So here's a child of God. I'm convinced of that. He's a servant to Elisha. And look at this. We'll see carnality and compassion at the same time. Notice this in verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought." I mean, he's thinking, well, he brought that to be given, and maybe Elisha made a mistake here. Elisha should have taken that. Obviously, that's his thinking. But as the Lord liveth. Now, that's pretty bad when you bring God in on it. And you say, listen, God would have me do this. As the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Somewhere in his mind, he justified that he deserved, listen, somewhat of what he had. Now, not maybe everything, but he deserved to have a little bit of what Naaman was offering. I mean, listen, he was giving it away, and why not be the recipient of this gift that he was willing to give? And by the way, if we go back to what Naaman was doing it out of appreciation of what God had done for him and how Elisha was allowing God to use him to give him direction. And so he was wanting to do a good thing, but Elisha said, no, not this time. This is not the time to give after what God has done for you. So verse 21, we find here, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" Did you see that? Listen, there was carnality in Gehazi's heart, but what was there in Naaman's? He came, what did he do? There was compassion. He stopped and he said, "Is everything all right?" I mean, my goodness, he saw this man behind him running after him. And so he said, whoa, wait a minute. I know who this is. This is the servant of Elisha. And he had just come off this mountaintop experience. In fact, I would dare say he was basking in that mountaintop experience on the way home saying, listen, his leprosy was healed. But even more important than his leprosy, his relationship with God was revealed and made right, and he was enjoying it. Remember, and he said, "Listen, my master takes me into the house of Rimmon, which is a false god. Will you forgive me? You know, forgive me for doing this when I go back to my master." And he says, "Go in peace. Don't worry about that, because more important is the relationship that God has given to you." And so he's basking in this, and he sees this man coming, and he stops and he says, "Hey, is everything all right?" Then notice this deception. Listen to the deception. This is the heart of Gehazi. And then I want you to see the generosity. And that ought to be the heart of every child of God. Was Naaman deceived? Yes, he was. But wait a minute. I don't know if he ever found that out, because he kept going, didn't he? But he counted it a blessing to give. Let me ask you this question. Do you think God blessed Naaman for his generosity? Yes, absolutely. Isn't that great? You can never give in the name of the Lord and not receive a blessing. Now, I don't know if he received a physical blessing, but I am sure it warmed his heart to give and believe he was fulfilling a need in the life of this need that was mentioned, this servant. So notice what happens here. So he said, "Is all well? And my master has sent me," this is what Gehazi is saying, "my master has sent me saying, behold, even now there become to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give me, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." Now remember, he brought more stuff than this, but he said, this is what I'm going to ask you to give, right? He said, even now, I mean, as you left at this very moment, these two sons of the prophets have come, and we've got a need now. Is he telling the truth? Excuse me. Is he telling the truth? No, he's not. He has justified that in his heart. He is using deception and he's feeling good about it because he thinks it's going to get him something. And it ultimately it does, but it's not what he thought it was going to be. So he says, verse 23, Naaman says, so here we find this deception. Look at the generosity in the heart of Naaman. And again, I'm sure God blessed him. And Naaman said, be content. Take two talents. Remember, he was asking for one. He says, hey, be content. Take two. I'm going to give you. Does he have a generous heart? He is on the mountaintop experience. He is enjoying what God had given to him. He says, be content. Take two. And so... He urged him. Notice what happens. And by the way, he says this also. I pray thee. He says, take two. And then Naaman says this. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bear him before them. So you see what he's doing? He gets two of his servants. He says, you carry this for him. And then when you're done, catch up to us. Amen? And by the way, maybe these two servants may have been the ones that said, my father, remember, had the prophet bid thee to do some great mighty thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much easier than to go in the Jordan and dip yourself seven times? And then the Bible says that Naaman went, didn't he? Then he went down. And so maybe these are the two servants. And I think even the servants, now listen, the servants, I don't think know the truth here. But you know what they're doing? They're rejoicing that they can participate in being a blessing. And so they go before him. And then we find greed and godly wisdom here. Notice verse 24. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand. He gets to this place where he and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go and they departed. So you see what he's doing? He stops off at the house here and he drops all these belongings off. Sends the others on their way. And then notice what he does here in verse 25. But he went and stood before his master. So now he's in front of Elisha. What's going through his mind? What at this moment, at least up until this point? Man, oh man, did I just break the bank? Amen. Boy, oh boy, listen, did I just pull one out here? Did I just all of a sudden, I think he's feeling good about what he's done. And I don't know that there's any guilt there. Do you know that everything that is done never goes unnoticed by the eye of God? Do you know the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that fear God, that love him, that reverence God? Do you know that Jesus said, even a cup of cold water given in my name will not go unrewarded. And so here is this servant. Really, here is this person who was a servant of the prophet Elisha that has turned the wrong way. You know what that ought to do for us tonight? It ought to concern us that, you know, I think we're just one step away from turning in the wrong direction. May we continue to seek the Lord. May we continue to realize how much we need God, because all the scriptures have been given to you and I for our examples that we don't turn in the wrong direction. We don't want to lean into our own understanding, because this is what Gehazi has done here, and he is somehow justified doing this. But I want you to see, as we consider his greed, and he's thinking he's gotten away with it, what he didn't realize is that Elisha was seeking the wisdom of God, the presence of God, and God gave him understanding and wisdom. And sometimes, listen, you and I can be given revelation, and it's not always to make a judgment. Sometimes it's just to thank the Lord for that and to show his love in spite of maybe some things that are done dishonestly. Maybe sometimes if people are short or unkind with us, that doesn't mean that we respond back in like manner, but that we have the patience of the Lord and the love of God during those times. That's the difference. That's the light of the Lord in the life of the believer, that we can be kind and patient and gentle, even when things aren't done that way to us. So verse 25, so he goes in, and he stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Oh boy, where are you coming from? Now, he doesn't think that Elisha knows. So what does he say? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. Well, I didn't go anywhere. Listen, as the Lord liveth, Gehazi said, as the Lord liveth what? I'm going to do things my way, in spite of what the Lord says. I am going to go down the path of destruction, and I think that I am not going to get caught. Do you know, all criminals think that. Somehow they have convinced themselves, I am not going to get caught. Now, I don't know, some years ago, I found these little clips of these bait cars. You ever see those police bait cars? They park them somewhere, you know, and I don't know how ethical or whatever you want to say about it, but these people would get in these cars and they would steal them. And one of them were these two ladies, I guess that's what we call them, we'll call them ladies here, and they got in the car and they're talking, and there's a video camera on the floorboard pointing up at them, and they're talking about what they're going to do with this car. And I think it was like a Cadillac Escalade. And they get in this car and they're chatting about what they're going to do and how much money they're going to get for it. And lo and behold, the police pull behind them, and you should have seen the expression on their faces. They thought they were getting, they said, man, we can't believe it. I mean, here's this car. They jumped in it. The keys are in it. They cranked it up. They head down the road, and the police get right behind them. And then, oh my goodness, I hope they're not going to pull us over. And you know what they do? They kill the car. They can't do anything. The car just shuts off. And so anyway, the ladies did look kind of rough, you know, and so the police come out, and he starts asking them these questions. And he was really quite a gentleman, I think, this police officer. Ladies, what are you doing with this car? They started to say, well, it's ours. Well, no, our friend or this person asked us to take it up the road here. Where? And they were just fishing for answers. They were just, their ship was sinking. And there was more water coming in than they were able to bail out. They were in trouble. And they were making up these stories, and that police officer's doing this. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. And finally, one of them says, you got us. We stole the car. They just came clean. And you know what? You could see on her a sigh of relief. Listen, there is no rest for the wicked. There is no rest. Why? May we not take the word of God and give heed that lying and deception will never bring peace. Scheming and planning will never bring God's contentment or fulfillment. And you know, that's why the world is so upset, because they're trying to get something for nothing. Instead of realizing God has laid out. Listen, you know, if we will follow, even as an unbeliever, if we will choose to follow God's way, God will be blessed. Now, the greatest blessing is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's where it all takes place. And so listen what he says here. But he went in, verse 25, and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. I didn't go anywhere. Now, here comes the last thought here, and that's a revelation and a judgment that takes place. So look what he says here in verse 26. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? Did you listen to that? Didn't my heart go with you? That's a pretty powerful statement. He says, don't you realize, look, didn't my heart go with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? How did he know that? Had to be the Lord. They were not in the same location. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments? And listen to his plans. Not only did Elisha know where he was at, but he also, listen, didn't my heart go with you? And that was something that the Lord enabled, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. Do you know what he was seeing himself? Man, I'm going to be living it up. You know, people go and they break laws thinking that they're going to have the high life. I saw a documentary one time on these inner city drug lords, is what they call them, I guess. But they make the small guy in the totem pole makes several thousand dollars in a day. Several thousand dollars in a day. But listen, it's not just the police you've got to worry about. It's the other gangs that may want to shoot you. What a miserable life. I don't care what you have, monetarily speaking. I would want no part of that life. The crying shame is they're indoctrinating the younger generation to look. Listen, Hollywood and the music realm is glorifying that. These gangsters, I guess, they are becoming musicians, and they're writing songs about that kind of a lifestyle. And these young people get hooked up into that, thinking that that's what life's all about. There's no peace in that. There's no joy in that. And so what happens here? He says, did my heart go with you? And notice what happens here in verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed. Do you know, listen, we not only affect our own lives, we affect the lives of our children. His seed. He said, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed for 10, 20 years. That's not what it says, is it? Forever. Do you know that there are things that we can do that will cause us to lose the next generation? I think it's already happening right now. I think it's already happening in the lives of people today in our society, don't you? I think more people are closed to the truth and finding the peace of God, and they've been so indoctrinated to believe. Listen, they're telling people that Christ and followers of Christ are not loving people. That's not the truth. And they're believing the lie. The devil knows that if the lie is repeated over and over again, people will believe it. And so that's being propagated today. And God says you have two paths that you can go on. You can choose the way of your understanding, or you can call upon the Lord for his wisdom and understanding. And the outcomes are diametrically opposite. There's fulfillment and peace in the way of the Lord. There's no rest, the Bible tells us, for the wicked. And here's the problem, and you've heard this. I'm not against some of these older movies that, you know, these older cartoons I've mentioned that have these little romantic type an idea behind it. And they always come up with this idea. You'll always hear it. And I'm not trying to bash Disney, but these older Disney movies say what? Follow your heart. Isn't that what they say? Follow your heart. What does the Bible say about the heart of man? It's desperately wicked. But it sounds so good. Follow your heart. Gehazi followed his heart. He did not follow the way of the Lord. He followed his heart, what he wanted. And I see sometimes in Walmart, little kids following their hearts. And man, my kids sometimes will tell me, especially Josiah, he said, man, I said the other day, you guys never did that. And I think one of them said to the other one, yeah, because he'd kill us if we did that. They knew that there would be consequences. And you know what? I'm glad they learned that. I don't ever really remember ever having to straighten any of my kids out in a public setting. And yet I remember my kids, even some of my daughters, did we ever do that? Man, they were embarrassed for the parents of what was going on. And I said, no, I don't ever remember you guys cutting up. I think maybe one of you put a piece of chewing gum in your ear or somewhere, but I don't think I've ever seen you guys cutting up or acting up like that. And so Gehazi found himself in a place of cursing and not blessing. He was planning for success, but he met with failure. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. You know that's not God's will or his way. But we bring destruction into our own lives when we turn away from the Lord. And tonight, as we consider this, Gehazi said, as the Lord liveth, and went completely in the wrong. It sounded spiritual, didn't it? But it was all wrong. By the grace of God, may we seek to follow after the Lord tonight and not look to our own ways and not follow our heart, but that we may seek the knowledge of God and of the holy that brings and tends to life and not death. Would you stand with me as we prepare for invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, and we thank you so much for the gift of eternal life that you've given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. And Lord, for your promises that you've given to us, and that if we'll call upon you, you've promised to answer and to show us great and mighty things that we don't know. And we thank you for that. Lord, you are faithful, and I thank you for that as well. Even, Lord, if we are unfaithful, you are faithful. Your mercy and your grace is not dependent upon us. The devil would have us to believe that. But we can seek you early as you've called us to and experience your grace and mercy. I pray that you would speak to each heart. Lord, may we draw closer to you, and we'll give you the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.